sign in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Happy birthday, Behind the Black. 14 years of rise of commercial space, the sideways of the big space around the world, not just in the U.S., but also the administrative state entering in. However, we're going to start with what appears to be commercial space making a very good move on planet Earth. Bob, a very good evening to you. Mr. Musk is outspoken. In fact, he's in the news every day. What's he said that tells us that something is happening in California? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, early this week, right after California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill that would allow schools to sexually groom little kids, as far as I'm concerned, and hide the fact from their parents, literally require them to lie and keep it secret from the parents, Elon Musk announced that he is moving the headquarters of SpaceX and X, formerly Twitter, from California to Texas. He's going to move the SpaceX headquarters to Boca Chica, and he's going to move X to Austin. And his tweet was very, very clear. Quote, "This is the final straw. Because of this law and many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies, SpaceX will now move its headquarters from Hawthorne, California to Starbase, Texas." And he added that X is moving to Austin as well. This is not going to be instantaneous. He's not moving everything out of California. The headquarters have moved. He's already incorporated from Delaware to Texas on SpaceX. But it means that there's going to be a long, steady process of exiting California, these companies. X will move almost immediately entirely because it's just software. So they can just pick themselves up. It's an office, and they just move it to Austin.
SpaceX is
going to take a little longer.
Is Starbase, does that mean Boca Chica?
Yeah, Starbase is Boca Chica. Over a period of the next few years, he's going to have to, of course, ask his employees whether they want to move. I guarantee you that 90% of them are going to say, sure, let's get out of California, let's go to Texas, for the same reasons that Elon Musk just wants to move, because this new law is a real threat to families.
What is in California? Is that the assembly plant of Falcon 9?
No, the thing that's in California, they have a lot of facilities in California, but their headquarters and their mission control is in California. But they will start to move those facilities to Boca Chica. And it'll be actually for them be beneficial because they'll be right all together in the
right
place.
What about the manufacturing? Is that in different states?
It's in different places. They do manufacturing. Some of the stages, some things are built in California. It's all going to be shifted to Texas over time. They can't do it all at once, but they can do it steadily over the next year. So.
More SpaceX, and this one's about SpaceX's rival in Washington. What have we learned, Bob?
All right, so the SpaceX had a launch failure earlier last week in which the upper stage had a problem, a fuel leak that eventually caused it to explode. The satellites didn't get into the right orbit, and they're going to deorbit very quickly. And so SpaceX is investigating that, and the FAA has announced that it will not allow a launch until it completes its own investigation. So SpaceX this week submitted a request to the FAA to allow it to resume launches this week while that investigation goes on. In other words, the FAA has the power, if it considers the investigation not related to public safety, it can allow the launches to resume while the investigation is still ongoing. And SpaceX apparently understands the situation and is ready to resume launches again. It had scheduled launches for July 20th, Saturday, and then made this request. They're ready to start launching again. They understand the situation, and they're confident their rockets are okay. The FAA has not responded, has not said whether or not it's going to go along with this. It made it very clear that, quote, it will review the request, and if an agreement authorizes a return to flight operations, the mishap investigation remains open, and they will not go yes unless they want to. We've heard nothing from SpaceX, and so those launches that were scheduled, the launch was scheduled for the 20th. Tomorrow has now been delayed to the 21st. So obviously the FAA is not going along with this yet, but we'll wait and see. SpaceX is going to probably be moving that launch back day by day and to apply pressure to the FAA.
There's executive news at Firefly. What is Firefly, Bob?
Firefly is one of the rocket startups that the U.S. has got, and they have launched about, what is it, I think five times with mixed results, but they've gotten success. And they've done a lot of other things. The board of directors of Firefly announced this week that the CEO of the company, Bill Weber, will no longer serve in that position. They're going to replace him. They put in an interim CEO. It appears this is probably related to an earlier story about allegations against Weber having an inappropriate relationship with a female employee. We don't know this for a fact. But either way, he's out. There are other indications that there's been chaos at the company and the management levels because of Weber. So maybe that's the reason, not necessarily those allegations. And the company wants to straighten things out. Weber came in when new investors arrived and fired the company's first CEO, Tom McCusick, who founded the company. It appears that those new investors might not have been so smart. They should have kept McCusick because he's the one who made the company what it is. That's where we stand with Firefly.
Is McCusick the Ukrainian billionaire?
No. The story with that is that McCusick had the company. It went bankrupt. He found a Ukrainian billionaire by the name of Polyakov to save the company from bankruptcy and keep it going. The State Department forced that billionaire out of the company because they said, no, Ukrainian, there's State Department ITAR rules that says you can't be there. So when they forced him out, McCusick had to find new investors. When he found a new investor, those investors dumped him. He does own stock in the company, McCusick, because the billionaire gave it to him. So I don't know. It could very well be McCusick will return. We'll have to wait and see.
Bob, the puzzle about this is the State Department being fussy about a Ukrainian billionaire owning a rocket company, given the fact of the rockets that are now being transferred into the hands of the Ukrainians, defending themselves against the Russians.
Yeah. Are you expecting rational logic from State Department employees?
No,
please.
I'm enjoying the short story. That's all. Just romance. Okay. Now we've got a NASA story unhappy about Viper payload on a commercial space lander, I believe, Astrobotics.
Yes.
What is Viper?
All right, so let's give some quick history. Back about more than a decade ago, NASA, this is before NASA has accepted the idea of capitalism. NASA was going to build something called Resource Prospector. It was a $1 billion lunar lander / rover to go to the moon. And it was a $1 billion project that was already delayed and behind schedule and over budget already. And when the Trump administration came in and they decided to go with capitalism, they canceled that project. They canceled it, and they said, well, instead of going to use the money to buy lunar landers from private companies, and we'll put NASA science payloads on them. They'll buy the payload space. Now, these companies will get a business, and they will develop landers that they own, and they can sell to others, and we'll get our payloads onto the moon. And NASA, though, decided they didn't want to give up on the rover, so they rewrote the Resource Prospector rover and called it Viper, and they put it on Astrobotics Griffin lander, buying space, payload space on Griffin. But not surprisingly, Viper, being a government-run big project, is continued to be over budget and behind schedule. Its budget has risen from initially expected to be $250 million to now more than $600 million. And so NASA decided to review it again and has decided to cancel it. They say this is not working. Some of the instruments that were on this rover will be repurposed and put on other landers. Astrobotics lander, though, is not canceled. They will go ahead with the mission, and they have now payload space they can sell to others, including NASA. So it's very possible some of the instruments on the rover will end up on the lander. And because of the way government works, it didn't work. And so that's why it's not going to happen.
Bob, it's beginning to sound like there's a market in used lander parts.
Maybe so, John. Yeah.
You know, I've long known that most restaurants stock their tables and chairs from failed restaurants, secondary market. I'm wondering if it will come to that with landers and satellites and private space saying, well, you know, we didn't use this. Let's auction it off. Let's put it on the market.
That has already happened a bunch of different times. In this particular case, it's not likely that Viper itself will be bought by a private company, but we could wait and see. It's too heavy and big. That's really where the problem would lie. No one else would want to launch it because it's a typical government project. It's kind of gold-plated. And so private, you know, every single one of these private companies that is putting up landers, they stick a tiny rover onto the lander for almost no cost. This is not what Viper is. You know, it's big and heavy and complicated, and it's too expensive, so it's gone.
ESA has a vision. What is Apophis? Remind.
Yes, so the European Space Agency announced this week that it is now beginning work and has approved a mission called Ramses, that will be a flyby of the potentially dangerous asteroid Apophis. Apophis is making a close flyby of the Earth in 2029. OSIRIS-APEX, the formerly Bennu sample return mission, is already on its way to visit Apophis during that flyby. But there's been a lot of other talk from a lot of other people to send missions to Apophis during the flyby to study this potentially dangerous asteroid. And so now Europe has announced it's going to do it. It's going to launch in 28 to arrive in February 29. That's 2 months before the actual flyby, so it can study the asteroid as it does its flyby. I do want to point out, this is a good thing that Europe has proposed, but I will have to point out that Europe has a track record of moving at a glacial pace with all its projects, and with late problems often appearing. The poster child of this is the Franklin Mars rover, which was going to launch to Mars in 20, then 22, and then 24, and now it's scheduled for 28. So they're making the announcement now to launch in 28 this asteroid mission, not giving them a lot of time. But we can hope that it'll launch, John.
And Apophis makes that pass in 29. As I remember, there was some calculation that said sometime in the 22nd century, Apophis will come closer. Do I remember that correctly?
Kind of, John. They've done calculations. They don't see Apophis hitting the Earth for centuries. But there is the slim possibility that during some of the flybys that are coming, it could – you can't predict this perfectly. There's chaos involved. But there is this very slim possibility that those calculations could change during the flybys. But they are pretty sure right now that it's not likely that that will happen and it'll hit us. But it's still in an orbit that makes it possible.
Back when I was a science fiction reader, I imagined a story, Bob, where you calculated a strike by an asteroid several hundred years ahead of where this story begins. And the opinion of the Earth at the time was, let them worry about it. We don't have anything to fret over.
You're right on the money, John. the thing that makes it even in reality is that you can't calculate these things so precisely. Orbits of asteroids are too uncertain. There's too many aspects to them, and so there's chaos involved. You cannot make a prediction very precisely more than like a 50 years into the future, really, as a general rule. You can generally get an idea, but you're guessing to a certain
extent. Yeah, let our great-great-great-grandchildren find the money for
They're going to have to worry about it, not us.
All right, Europe is looking for a lunar lander. And that is...
All right, so this is a similar story to the Apophis story. Europe has announced that it has approved a target date of 2031 to fly its first own unmanned lunar lander, dubbed Argonaut, to the moon and use the Ariane 6 to launch it. Now, this gets back to what I said about the Apophis mission, Europe's glacial pace to do anything. So they've given themselves, what is this now, 7 years to build a lunar lander. Most of the American and private and also other countries' rovers have been built much faster than this. And so that's where Europe stands. So they hope to have an unmanned lunar lander landing on the moon in 31. As I say, don't expect that schedule to be met. This is just how things go with Europe. And I expect by 2031 there are going to be many cheaper and available options other than this from the private sector. And in fact, European companies won't put their payloads on this European lunar lander because it's also going to fly in the Ariane 6 rocket, a very expensive, expendable rocket. There'll be other options that are much cheaper, John.
And we have less than a minute. Gaia, and there's an anomaly. What is Gaia?
Gaia is a space telescope, very successful space telescope launched in 2013 by Europe. It was designed to measure very precisely the distance to over a billion stars, and it has revolutionized astronomy. It completed its primary mission 6 years ago, but it's been still operating, getting further data, which is great. But it's been hit with a whole bunch of problems that could end the mission. It's had a failure of electronics, and it also was hit by a micrometeorite that's causing light leaks now. They're hoping to get them fixed, but that's the story, John.
Bob Zimmerman, 14 years of Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.